Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity to come together this morning. We pray that as we think about what your word has to say to us, that by your Spirit you would be working in us, transforming us to live lives that bring honour and glory to you as we live as those committed to living faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in the second week of our commitment series today, and today we've been thinking about what it means to be committed to living faith. We're considering together being committed to living faith, to live by faith, letting it inform our actions in everyday life. But what does living by faith mean? It can be one of those sort of weird nebulous phrases, can't it? You just need to have faith, that kind of thing. Well, sometimes living by faith is that picture of being, of stepping forward into the unknown, taking a leap, closing your eyes and hoping for the best. It's that scene in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade where he's stepping out into that chasm, not knowing what's going to happen, takes a step and doesn't fall in the cliff, but there's that cleverly painted walkway. But when we come to the Bible, what we read is that's not quite the picture. Faith is not blind faith. It's not a leap into the unknown, a hope that everything will be okay because you can't really be sure. Rather, biblical faith is trust, specifically trust in God. And this faith, this trust, is both an informed trust and a relational trust. Informed in that this trust is not just the gap that's needed in the absence of information. Rather, it's a considered response to what is already known. And it's relational trust because it's trust in a person, trust in God. Christian faith, Christian trust, is informed and it is relational. And to help us understand this, I'm going to use an example that that came up in our growth group this week. I've asked the person's permission to steal their really good illustration, so I'm giving credit where credit's due. Imagine you're in trouble, you need help. He suggested being stranded in the middle of the desert. Maybe you can relate to that, I couldn't. And you've got enough battery for one last phone call. Who are you going to call? You'd reach out to someone who you trusted would be able to help, wouldn't you? You'd have faith in that person to be able to help. And so that if your phone died after you put out that call for help, you'd know that you'd be okay. Not because you're taking a wild chance on somebody, but because this is someone you trust. This is someone you know is able to help. You trust them because you know them. The trust is informed. And you trust them because you know them. The trust is relational. You make the call, you act in faith, because you trust that they are going to be able to come and help. You know them and you trust them. Trust is informed and relational. In the same sense, we know and so trust God. Living by faith is not some hopeful stab in the dark, but an informed trust in the God that we know. And so living in trust to God is about knowledge and then action. It's knowledge and then action. If you trust in someone or something, it's expressed in action, isn't it? In the previous example, if you actually trusted someone to help, you'd call them. You'd act by calling them and asking them to help you. You're not going to call the person you don't trust. And it's the same for us as we seek to live by faith, as we are those who are committed to living faith. We trust God and so act in line of that. And so that's what we're going to consider this morning. We're going to consider what it means to live by faith, to live out that trust. And those two components, the knowledge we have of God and the action that flows out of that. Our living in trust, our commitment to living faith involves a knowledge of God and his words and an action to live in light of that. And so our aim today, as we consider how we remain committed to living faith, is to consider those two things. Considering what we know of his God and his words, the knowledge that informs our faith, and then what it means to act out of that faith, our trust in God in actions. So we're going to look at those two things in turn. Firstly, then, knowledge. Trust and knowledge. We're committed to living faith, to live as those who live in trust of God. But as I said before, we don't trust someone who we don't know anything about. This is an informed trust. We trust our God knowing who he is and what he's done. Our trust in God's not blind trust. It's not a risky trust. God has revealed himself to us in history. He's not unpredictable. He's not changeable. And so the God we meet in the scriptures, who has revealed himself in history, is the God that we're putting our trust in. So, who's he revealed himself to be? Well, God reveals himself. He reveals his character, his nature, who he's, what he's like, and how he acts as he engages with people throughout history. For example, he reveals his character to Moses, Exodus 34. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. See the picture we have of God's character? Compassion and love, patience and forgiveness, faithfulness and grace, and also justice. He is the powerful creator and ruler over all things. He acts with steadfast love and compassion, all while upholding justice and doing what is right. And we see God act in line with his character over and over again as the pages of scripture unfold, showing extravagant love to his people Israel despite their many failings, forgiving them over and over again with the patience of a parent, the perfect parent. God is powerful and God is good, and he works for the good of his people. And we see this most clearly at the cross of Jesus, don't we? Where our all-powerful and all-knowing God sent his beloved Son to die to save us because he loves us. And he didn't do that because it was good for him. He did it because it was good for us. God showing the way that he acts in line with his character for our good at the cross. Jesus dying for us, for sinners who'd rejected our good and compassionate God. Romans 5, you see, at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God acts for our good. Our compassionate and gracious Creator loves us and dies for us while we're sinners, when we need him most desperately too. Friends, we know who our God is, and so we have good reason to trust him. Perhaps you don't yet trust God, don't yet trust Jesus. Can I encourage you to see who God is? How he has acted in love to save you, sending Jesus to die for you? If you don't yet trust him, know he is worth trusting. If you want to find out more, see more of what our gracious and compassionate God has done, love to chat to you after the service, talk with someone here. They'd love to talk with you. We also run a short course where you can explore a bit more about Jesus called Jesus, an Introduction. And there's a QR code in your pew if you wanted to chase that up. For those of us who do trust God already, we need to keep remembering who our God is. Compassionate, patient, gracious, just. And remember that he's always working for our good. And we know that because we've seen him. He's already done it for us at the cross of Jesus. We need to keep remembering who our God is. Because if we forget who he is and what he's done for us, that can tempt us to not trust him. So let's keep remembering who our God is. We know who our God is, and know that we have good reason to trust him. And as we put our trust in God, we also put our trust in his word. It's another aspect of our knowledge in that informs our trust. We live lives of faith in God as we trust in God's word. God's not just acted in history past and left us with no information about him. He's spoken to us in his word, revealing himself to us in it. And also by his word, equipping us and preparing us to live lives of faith. To live lives that are committed to him. God has spoken to us in his word, the Bible. The Bible's not just an academic book It's a highly practical book. It's a book which informs us about how we're to live lives of faith for God. As Timothy puts it in 2 Timothy, the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word, the scriptures that we have in our Bibles, bring us to know him. They tell us about Jesus and how we might put our trust in him to be saved. But they also then teach us, train us, correct us, rebuke us, so that we might live rightly. They equip us for every good work. And so we put our trust in God's words. And trusting in God's words will mean that we trust them more than we trust ourselves. I think that's what the Proverbs 3 reading we had, parts of this idea in there. Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. We're to trust God rather than leaning on our own understanding. And that doesn't mean kind of like not using our brains when we read the Bible. It's not that. Rather, what's wrong about leaning on our own understanding in this context is it's actually about self-reliance. It's leaning on our own understanding and rejecting God's, thinking that we know best and so rejecting God's ways. We know best and we know what we should do. Or leaning on the understanding that we have that's actually heavily informed by the world around us rather than what God says. Or leaning on our own understanding when it's what's agreeable to us, what makes best sense to us, instead of what God says. You know, I can't really follow God in those particular things. It doesn't make sense to me. It's not really doesn't fit with the world that we live in today, that kind of stuff that God says. That's the kind of vibe, but that's a dangerous position. It's a bad idea to put more stock in our understanding rather than God's, and because of two reasons. Leaning on our own understanding is problematic because we are sinful and we are finite. We are human. We're sinful. We want what we want. And at times it's not what is good for us. We want our own way rather than God's good way. And so we'll find lots of ways, as we lean on our own understanding, to justify our sin and our selfish desires. Second, we're finite, we're human. That is, we don't know everything. And so how can we be trusted to make the best decisions about what to do? I, sadly, don't always know what my wife is thinking. I can't read her mind yet. Maybe you can read other people's minds. So occasionally I can say or do things that are not appreciated by her. I know it's hard to believe that that might happen. I don't know everything, so I don't always make the best decisions. It's not a good idea to lean on our own understanding, particularly when seeking to live God's way. It's far better to trust God, who knows all, who is good and wants what is best for us. And so the right response when we're tempted to lean on our own understanding and ignore what God says is to remember who we are, sinful, human, and to remember who God is, good, all-knowing. And so to respond, as Isaiah 66 describes, being those who are humble and contrite in spirit, who tremble at God's word. Trusting God's word over our own thoughts and inclinations. So what does that look like? Well, it looks like believing God's promises. Trusting that he tells us the truth and knowing that he will do what he said he will do, even when it sometimes doesn't look like that. And acting in line with that. That's a picture of that reading from Hebrews painted, isn't it? Those who trusted God's promise and so acted accordingly, even when it didn't look likely that God would come through. But he does. We obey his commands as we seek to trust his word. Trusting that God wants our good and that his way is actually the best way. And we heed his warnings. understanding that he cares for us, wants the best for us, and so we take the warnings he gives us about sin and temptation and how to live seriously. We trust in God's word. And we need to trust it as our highest authority. God's word is better than our reasoning or our logic. God's word is more trustworthy than our instincts and our feelings about what to do. And God's word shows us a much better way to live than the culture around us tells us to. We need to listen to God's word above all other voices. And as we do so, that sometimes means listening to God's word will be hard. It might challenge us or rebuke us. We might not fully get God's logic on something, but need to trust that his ways are better than ours. We need to trust his word, particularly in the world that we live in, where it says things that are uncomfortable or unfashionable to believe. And because of that, we might face a social cost as we trust God's word over the voices of our world. For instance, how God's world speaks about sexual ethics is not popular in our world today. It's not fashionable to think that way. So it might cost us the respect of those around us. It might be hard to trust it when we're just not sure that things are going to they're not going to go well for us if we act in line with God's word. Being honest at work and all the other situations that we're in, even though, you know, others have said that this is going to blow back on us, we actually need to trust God's word even when it's costly. And we trust God's word because it shows us God's best way to live. Because of who our God is, our good, loving, powerful Heavenly Father, his word shows us the best way. And so we trust it even though it's not always the fashionable way or the easy way. We live by faith, and we are informed about God and trust him, both in who he is and in his word, understanding both as we come to his word and read it and understand it and live by it. It's the knowledge part. The next part of living by faith is to act, to see this truth about God, to trust it, and then to act in our lives, to take action. We listen to God, we know him, we know his word, and then we seek to live out in response to that. But, you know, living out faith, acting out of our trust in God and his word is often the harder bit, isn't it? It's much easier to believe something that's true than to put it into place in our life, to take the cost of what that means or to have the courage to live in light of it. And so we need to have courage, of course. But also, I think another place where we struggle with this is we know this truth about God, but life seems so complicated. And so we just don't know how to apply what we read of God and in his scriptures to all the various situations that happen in our lives. There's no proverb about screen time. No commands about which car to buy, or even if you can buy a new car at the moment. Or a verse about how to use your work, how to plan your career, or how to which uni degree to choose, or how to use retirement. There's no verse on those things. And so to live out our trust in action, because of life's complexity, actually requires more than a verse. To live out lives of obedience to God and his word in any situation, we need something more than just those little verses. And so it makes this part of talking about it tricky for me, because I can't just list out five things that we should start doing in order to live out in faith. Because it's going to play out differently for all of us in different situations that God's put us in. And it's going to play out in loads of areas of life. Acting out our trust of God, living for him in this world, is bigger than just sticking with a few bullet points at the end of a sermon. And this is because life can be complex and requires more than just some black and white rules. But God knows this, of course, and so he doesn't leave us to it. And so how we think about living for God in this world and all its complexity is really what the Bible talks about when it speaks of wisdom. Biblical wisdom, wise living in God's world. It's informed living. It's taking the knowledge of God and his word and applying it to life, to all areas of life. That is biblical wisdom. It's living according to God's way in all areas of life as we understand what God would want us to do in each of those situations. So in order to live out this life of faith in action, we need to be seeking to live wisely. And so how can we be prepared to act wisely, to live by faith? Well, we need to know God as well as we can. And thankfully, it's not rocket science. It's knowing God better as we know his word better. And then from that, we understand his word, and then so we start to see the principles that God gives us for how we are to live as God's people, loving others, cultivating the fruits of the Spirit, seeking to be engaged in God's gospel mission amongst a myriad of other things. We learn God's word, so we learn who he is and how he wants us to live as his people, informed by the principles and ideas that he gives us. And then we apply them to each and every situation. A commentary summed this up well. Since God created Christians for good works and calls on them to do good works, this living a life of faith, he has given scripture to instruct them so that they may know in principle what God expects of them and thus be equipped to do that particular good deed, to do that particular good deed called for in each situation. It's kind of like you're shopping for a gift for someone. It's hard to pick a gift for somebody. It's particularly hard to pick a gift for someone if you don't know them very well. But if you knew the person, you knew the things they liked, what they were into at the time, what they didn't like, what they already had, if they had a particular thing that, you know, that they were excited about, you'd be equipped to make a good decision as you bought the gift for them, wouldn't you? My youngest son, Flynn, had a birthday recently, and people knew him well. He got a lot of Paw Patrol toys and like little tool toys, like drills and stuff. People knew him well. I wish they knew me a bit better, because a lot of those toys needed batteries, but there it is. It's the same with living for God. We need to know him better by knowing his word better. And as we get better acquainted with him, as we read the scriptures, we learn who he is and we see what principles that it is that he wants us to live by. We know God's word and know what he deems as good, what he deems as bad. And so then we are equipped to make decisions that are in line with what God wants us to do. As we swim deeply in God's word, we also know that God by his Spirit transforms us and guides us to discern how to live a life for God, to best live that life of faith in him. Romans 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. We need to be in God's word so to allow God to transform our hearts and minds so that we might better live for him. We need to read God's word deeply. If you've fallen off the horse of the regular kind of pattern of reading God's word, just get back on. I find things to read that help you. If you've fallen off, you're feeling like, find a way to getting re-engaged. Listen, find a plan to follow. Listen to some sermons or podcasts or that kind of thing. One of the things that I've been thinking through this year is how to, you know, live wisely is reading the Proverbs, which are all about living wisely. I've been reading through and it's really been really helpful as it keeps painting that picture of what a wise life lived in honour of God looks like, particularly in all the nooks and crannies of life. And as we're looking ultimately to be transformed by God and led by him, we need to be praying that God would be transforming us in our minds as we read his word. If you're feeling like, you know, it's a bit stale at the moment in your Bible reading, do something to change it up. Try something different. Maybe find a book that helps you engage with God's word helpfully, a podcast, some sermon series, some worship songs that, you know, remind you of God's good word, to help you reignite your passion for hearing God's word and living it out. And then as we approach all the situations in life which require godly wisdom, we'll be so saturated with God's word that we'll have that resource to be able to discern what we should do in any and every situation we find ourselves in, so we can act well as we live in a life of trust in God. And as we do that, I think, as an aside, sometimes we can feel a bit anxious about making the right decision, can't we? We want to make sure that we do what God wants us to do, and we kind of become really fixated on doing the right one thing. But remember who our God is and what it means to live for Him. God is gracious and compassionate. And so we actually have freedom to make mistakes as we seek to live by faith. If we don't get it perfectly right, that's okay. We're not approved by God because of our ability to make perfect decisions. We're approved by God because of Christ and God's love shown to us in Him, accepted because of Christ. We're loved apart from what we do, which gives us great freedom to act with confidence in faith without having the pressure of getting it perfect. So as we live out in faith, remember we have freedom to give it a go, to do our best without needing to get it perfect. We are those who are committed to living faith. We know God, and so we seek to act in light of what we know of Him. To sum up, we are those committed to living faith, that is, living our lives with deep trust in God. We trust God because of who He is and what He has done for us. We trust God's word because it is true. It is for our good. It shows us the best way to live. And then we put that trust into practice as we seek to live lives based on God's word that seek to honour Him. What are some plans that you can put in for the next 12 months to help you in these things? How are you going in growing? How are you going to grow in knowing and trusting God's word? Perhaps you've fallen off the horse with the regular Bible reading. Get back on. Find a reading plan. Plan to read with others so that you can help each other keep accountable, that you can mine the riches of God's word together. Join a growth group, which we have at St. Mark's, a weekly meeting of other, a regular moment in the week to gather with others around God's word to understand it better and so help each other live for Him. Maybe you'd start taking notes of stuff that strike you as you read God's word and then coming back to reflect on those things, to keep pondering them so that you can trust God's word. I've started reading the Proverbs regularly as a way of doing this. Or maybe it's keeping track of the way that God answers prayers to see and be reminded of how good and trustworthy our God is. How are you going to grow in God, in knowing and trusting God? And how are you then going to go in the next 12 months about putting these things into practice? Obviously, there's the regular day-to-day living in obedience to what we hear. But are there things that we've been living with that we know we shouldn't be? We've been putting off making that change because maybe we're not, you know, convinced, or we just like things, well, this is the time to act. Or is there something that struck you from God's word, but you kind of just let it slip past? Life's too busy, it kind of churns along. We need to actually stop and act on those things. We trust in our good God, and then we act as those who are committed to living faith. Let me pray. Let's pray together in light of this. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise You for who You are. We praise You for Your goodness, Your compassion, Your love, Your patience. And we thank and praise You for acting in line with this towards us in Christ and the cross of our Lord Jesus. We thank You that You give us Your word. And we thank You for the way that You work by Your Spirit through Your word to transform us, to enable us, to help us to live lives that honour You. We ask, Father, that You'd help us to be deeply devoted to Your word, and we ask, Father, that You would shape us to live lives of committed living faith in You as a result. Amen.